Good morning. Okay. Every time I do this, we do this again. So let's try again. Good morning. Oh, there you are. Good morning. It is indeed a good morning because we are gathered together and God is in this place. I have a few announcements I'd like to draw your attention to this morning. On Sunday, December the 3rd, the Advent activities begin with our annual Advent Wreath Workshop dinner and Christmas oratorio concert. The evening begins at 4 p.m. in McWhirter Hall with wreath making, and all families are invited. Dinner this year is a free catered meal, and it will be available following the wreath workshop. Those attending the concert are welcome to come for dinner after the concert, but please make your reservation by noon tomorrow to ensure that we have enough food for everyone. Thank you to all those who signed up to sponsor a foster child for Christmas. Our goal was 25 children, and we ended up being able to sponsor 40 children. If you were not able to sign up to sponsor a child, please consider bringing toys or gift cards for the last minute toy store. Every year, some families are not able to be helped by other organizations or they miss the deadline for those charities. And there is a real need for these families. The last minute toy store will once again offer new free Christmas presents to over 5,000 children, but they can't do it without toy donations. So please give generously. You can see the bulletin insert for more information. And finally, today is the last day to sign up for the Advent Book Study with Pastor Brandon. The study begins this week, and it's being offered at two different times, Mondays at noon and Fridays at 9:30 a.m. The cost for the study is $10, which covers the cost of the book. And you can see the bulletin insert for more information and for how to sign up. Now let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship God this morning.
Thank you. Though the dark clouds cover us and the violent storms assail, God seeks out and protects us. God brings us to the safe shelter of compassion. When we feel lost and alone, wondering who will save us, God reaches out in love, healing our wounds and transforming our lives. Thank God who loves us so much. Praise God who searches for us and brings us home. Let us confess our sins to the one who searches us and knows us. Merciful God, we get so caught up in our own lives and needs that we fail to see others for whom we might provide some help and relief. You challenge us to feed those who are hungry and to quench the thirst of those who are parched. You ask us to bring clothing to those who have none or for whom the clothing is inadequate for the weather, to visit people who are sick, alone, alienated, who are imprisoned either in cells with bars or in conditions of hopelessness and poverty that they see no way out, to welcome the stranger and reach out to those who are marginalized, to always bring your words of healing and redeeming love. We have failed in these tasks. We ignore the opportunities and claim that we are too busy to help, too busy to care. How this attitude must sadden you, O Lord. You lavish your gifts upon us that we might use them for the betterment of your realm, and we treat them as inconveniences. Forgive us, O God. Forgive us and heal our wounds of greed and selfishness. Let us greet this day when the hope of the reign of Christ can be made manifest, and we can be part of this glorious kingdom of peace and compassion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, who brings peace and hope to us, we are forgiven, healed, and enabled to be part of the ministries of compassion in God's world. Rejoice, you are chosen and loved. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Matthew. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people, one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand, and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, You that are cursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked, or sick or in prison, and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The word of God for the people of God.
Other kids who'd like to join us up here, you're welcome to come and bring an adult if you'd like to. Good morning. Did you all have a good Thanksgiving? Did you eat some turkey? Good food? Yeah, good. I'm glad. Me too. Well, I didn't eat turkey, actually. I had chicken. Don't tell. I wanted to show you something. This, what is this? Does anybody know? A goat. It's a goat. This is a very special goat. I borrowed it from Pastor Carol. You know what it does? It screams. You want to hear it? Ready? Listen. Can you hear it? Did you hear it? It's a screaming goat. In our scripture this morning, Jesus is telling the story, and well, it's not telling the story, but Jesus is sitting on his throne, and he looks out at all the people all over the world, and he divides them like a shepherd would divide sheep from the goats. And he turns to the people who are the sheep, and he says, I'm so proud of you, and I'm so happy. You helped me, and you took care of me. And then he turns to the goats, and he says, Goats, I'm so disappointed in you. You didn't help me, and you didn't take care of me. And the sheep and the goats say, Lord, when? The sheep say, when did we help you? And the goats say, when did we not help you? And Jesus says, when you did it to the people, other people, when you helped other people or when you didn't help other people, you helped me or you didn't help me. This scripture is reminding us that God wants us to take care of other people and to help other people. And I was thinking of some ways that we can help other people, and you guys especially. How many of you go to a school or a preschool or class?
I go to a preschool.
You go to a preschool? Yeah. Maybe some of the ways we can help other people is by helping a friend when they're having a hard time with something. Or maybe if there's a kid in your school or in your class who's kind of having a hard time and maybe other people are ignoring them, you could go sit next to them and listen to them and be kind to them. Another way that we can help is by giving money. This Advent, this This season, we are giving money to the village at Glencliff, and we're trying to raise money to buy some furniture for some people who are going to be able to move into a home for the very first time in a long time. And so one of the ways we can help them is by giving some money when we go to Sunday school and putting them in these boxes. But I know that you have brilliant minds, and you can think of lots of other ways to help people. So this week, do you think you can try to help one person at least? Yeah, yeah. You think you can do it? I think you can too. Great. Let's have a prayer. God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you that you remind us that we're called to help other people. Help us to remember that this week so that we can help your people, and remember that when we help your people, we're actually helping you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all. I believe if you'd ever like to see the screaming goat, Carol keeps it on her desk, so just so you're... Would you pray with me? Oh God, may the words that I speak and the thoughts that we think be acceptable to you, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, I think the goats are making a real comeback these days. I mean, think about it. Now, more than ever before, you can easily find goat milk or goat cheese in the local grocery stores. All you have to do is search on YouTube, and you come up with thousands of goat videos. They have cute baby goats and singing goats, screaming goats, jumping goats. Someone in the Tuesday morning Bible study this week said that he rented a herd of goats to clear some land for him, and they actually did a pretty good job. And of course, you can't forget goat yoga. Yes, goats really do seem to be doing well for themselves these days, especially if you compare them to sheep. Nobody really talks about sheep. But in Jesus' day, sheep were actually worth more than goats. Their wool was valuable, and they were a little less high maintenance than goats because they didn't need to be protected from the cold. So it's no big surprise that sheep come out on top in our gospel lesson this morning. You'll recall that Jesus is seated on his throne in glory, and he's looking out over all the nations. And like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, he divides the people with the sheep at his right and the goats at his left. And he says to the sheep, "Sheep, you are blessed by God. Come and inherit my kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world began. And here's why. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink." And Jesus lists all these ways that the sheep have cared for him. But the sheep are a little sheepish. They don't remember doing all those things for Jesus. But he says, "When you did it to those who are the least of these, those who are members of my family, you did it to me." Whew, lucky sheep, right? And then Jesus turns to his left and, well, let's just say it doesn't go so well for the goats. Why? Because he was hungry and they didn't feed him. He was thirsty and they didn't give him something to drink. He didn't welcome them or clothe them or visit them when they were sick, when he was sick or in prison. Those poor, clueless goats. "When, Lord," they ask, "when did we see you in need and not take care of you?" And Jesus says, "Here's the deal. When you didn't do those things to those who are in need, you didn't do them to me." So Jesus condemns them to hell, and the sheep enjoy eternal life. It's a nice story, right? If you're a sheep. I have to admit, this passage makes me uncomfortable. Sometimes I read it and think, oh, I'm definitely a sheep. No worries. I work for the church. I'm good. And then I get to thinking a little bit more, and I begin to wonder. Maybe I'm not so much a sheep. What if I'm actually more of a goat? There have been so many times when I have ignored the person on the street asking for money. There have been so many times when I've found better things to do with my time than visit someone who was sick. And I can't even tell you the last time I went to a prison to visit someone. Yikes. Maybe I am more of a goat than I'd like to admit. But is that the purpose of this passage? Is Jesus trying to scare those of us who are goats? Or reassure those of us who are sheep? I'm not sure that's his intent. Lindsay Armstrong is a pastor who says that Matthew's depiction of the Last Judgment is like a wellness check. Its purpose is not to condemn or scare, but to provide a snapshot of our overall health, a look at our development and learning and growth that should lead to new habits and new ways of life. After all, just as our doctor wants us to flourish, she says, so does our Creator, Redeemer, Judge, and King. In other words, this passage isn't a guilt trip, but it is an opportunity for a gut check, a chance to pause and evaluate our commitment and priorities. If we've been acting like goats, well, we probably need to change a few things. And if we've been acting more like sheep, we can't just rest on our laurels. Just as our physical health needs to be maintained, so does our spiritual health. My guess is most of us fall somewhere between sheep and goats. We're not all sheep or all goat. And all of us can be better about caring for the least of these. As I was talking with the folks at the noon Bible study on Tuesday, someone mentioned that sometimes this just feels so overwhelming. And I agree. Sometimes it feels like no matter how hard we try, no matter what we do, we fall short of Christ's call. There are so many people who are hungry and sick and in prison. There are so many strangers out there. How can we possibly welcome and care for them all? It's easy to feel like we can't make much of a difference. And then we begin to think, well, is it even worth trying? Maybe we should just resign ourselves to being goats. Except that Jesus actually has something to say to this line of thinking, and he does it back in chapter 10, verses 41 and 42. In these verses, he's sending his disciples out to be missionaries, and he's trying to convey the importance not only of their work, but also of the work of those who support them. Listen to how Eugene Peterson paraphrases these verses. Jesus says, "This is a large work I've called you into. But don't be overwhelmed by it. It's best to start small. Give a cool cup of water to someone who's thirsty, for instance. The smallest act of giving or receiving makes you a true apprentice. You won't lose out on a thing." Did you catch that? Start small, Jesus says. The smallest act of giving or receiving makes you a true apprentice. We don't have to do it all at once. We can start small, one thing at a time. Barbara Brown Taylor suggests focusing on one person to begin with. She says, the next time you go to the grocery store, try engaging the cashier. You don't have to invite her home to lunch or anything, but take a look at her face while she's trying to find arugula on her laminated list of produce. Here is someone who exists even when she's not ringing up your groceries. She's someone's daughter, maybe someone's mother as well. She has a home she returns to when she hangs up her apron here. You saved $11.06 today, she says, looking right at you. All that is required of you is to look back. Just meet her eyes for a moment and say thank you. Sometimes that's all another person needs, to know that she has been seen. Not the cashier, but the person. Taylor describes this practice as coming face to face with another human being, preferably someone different enough to qualify as a capital O, other, and at least entertaining the possibility that this is one of the faces of God. And I think that's an important part of our gut check. There is an awakening that happens among the sheep and the goats. They come to understand that the hungry and thirsty, the naked and stranger, the sick and imprisoned, they are actually Christ himself. The Son of Man who sits on his throne in glory, surrounded by angels, that very same King can actually be found here and now in the faces of the neediest people who are often overlooked and ignored. And we, friends, we are lucky enough to get in on this secret now. This week, I read an article from NPR about a man named Dan Peterson. Dan's wife died a while ago, and he didn't know what to do with himself. He became depressed. One day, he went to the grocery store looking particularly disheveled. He hadn't shaved in a few days, and he hadn't had a haircut in months. And as he walked down toward the end of an aisle, Dan encountered a 4-year-old girl named Nora. Nora bounded up to him and said, "Hi, old person, it's my birthday." Nora and Dan struck up a conversation, and a friendship was born. Now she and her mom Tara visit Dan every week. Tara says she just blows in like a whirling dervish, plunders through his cabinets, and he slaps his knee and laughs and laughs and laughs. They spend time in his yard, telling each other secrets and giggling together. Nora says that she thought Dan needed a friend because he was sad. And Dan says, "Nora got me out of the loop, gave me something to live for. It's like the sun came out, you know?" Nora saw the face of God in Dan Peterson, and Dan Peterson saw the face of God in Nora. We who follow Jesus, we who want to be in relationship with him, we are called to seek him out by engaging with our neighbors in need. Jesus is inviting us to check in with ourselves, with our spiritual health, and make the necessary changes so that we don't miss out on the life that he wants for us. And I'm not talking just about eternal life far away in the future. I'm talking about real, abundant life, kingdom living, right here and now, today. We've just celebrated Thanksgiving, and the wider culture has already moved on to Christmas. We've had the Black Friday craziness, and Christmas decorations are up all over the place. But here in the Christian church, we're actually celebrating New Year's Eve. This is Christ the King Sunday, the final day of the Christian year. Next week, we celebrate the new year beginning with the first Sunday of Advent. But today is set aside to proclaim that Christ is the King of our world and our lives, that Christ is the one to whom we pledge our ultimate allegiance. Over the past several weeks, Carol has been preaching on the parables in Matthew, and she's explained that Jesus is having a party, and we're all invited. Well, this is the party, folks. It's time. It's just getting started. It probably doesn't look like your typical New Year's Eve party, but it is a potluck, and we Methodists do know something about those. This party includes a bunch of people who are different from us, who probably make us uncomfortable, and they need something from us. But you know what? We need something from them, too. Our spiritual health depends on them. So how about a New Year's resolution? Whether we're sheep or whether we're goats, let's pledge allegiance to Christ our King and commit to doing one small thing this week, just to begin. Let's look someone in the eye and give them the gift of recognizing their humanity. And if we have more to give, let's offer someone a meal or a cool cup of water. Let's clean out our closets and get rid of those clothes that we don't wear and give them to people who will actually use them and who need them. Let's take the time to visit someone who is lonely or sick. Or let's sign up to find out more about a prison ministry and how we can help. Whether we do something small or extravagant, I have no doubt that we will see the face of God, the face of Christ our King, and we will be blessed beyond measure. So come on, sheep. Come on, goats. It's going to be a great party. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able and join me as we affirm our faith together. Number 883 in the hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We're called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
As we come to a time of prayer, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to God. If you have prayer requests that you would like to share, please fill out a gray card that's located in the pew racks in front of you. And please indicate if you would like those prayers to be shared or if you wish for them to be confidential. And you can place those cards in the offering plates in a few moments as they are passed down the aisles. The rose on the communion table today celebrates the birth of Vera Marie Flick on November 13th, 2017, to Ben and Jamie Flick. And then we have two deaths to recognize. Michael Linseth died Monday, November 20th, and is survived by his wife, Betsy, and son, Michael Linseth Jr., and a memorial service will be held at a later date to be determined. And then Debbie Ferguson and family are mourning the death of Debbie's father, N.C. Parker, who died on Sunday, November 5th. A service was held on November 7th in Brewston, Tennessee. Let us now offer to God our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God, above all nations and people, you reign over all of creation in great love and mercy. As your children gathered here today, we turn our hearts and minds toward you in prayer. Just Lord of abundant grace, help us know the heart of your law of love. May your Spirit convict us of the many ways we fall short of your will, while also empowering us to live more fully into your goodness and righteousness. Grant that we would truly see you and respond to your call. May we be counted among those who encounter you in the hurting, the abandoned, the sick, the naked, the imprisoned, the hungry, and the thirsty. Healing and sustaining God, we pray for a world that groans for your restoring presence in times that are marked by planetary distress, global unrest, and human neglect. Move among us. Restore this world and all things in it, that the day would hasten to come when all is made right We pray for your peace to shape all things in all of time. And we pray especially for those whose voices go unheard, for those abused and misused, forgotten and ignored. We pray for those who struggle with sickness in body, mind, and spirit. May they experience comfort in the midst of darkness and help in their time of need. Living Lord, we pray for ourselves, for we all stand in constant need of your grace. Holy God, hear these prayers and our personal petitions as we enter a time of silent prayer. Hear our prayers, O Lord, as we join our voices together in prayer, as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now I'd like to welcome Neethu Thampi up for a ministry moment.
Morning, everyone. My name is Neethu Thampi, and I'm a senior at Vanderbilt University, a member of West End UMC, a leader in Vandy Wesley, and the Student United Methodist Ministry on Vandy's campus. After freshman year, I transferred to Vanderbilt from the University of Alabama. I transferred schools because I thought, although I found a great social network, my college experience was missing something, and I wanted to be challenged to the full extent of my abilities, and boy, has Vanderbilt done that. As a child, I was raised in the Mar Thoma Christian denomination, but it never quite fit for me. I didn't feel a sense of community and support like I wanted to experience with a faith family. Once I went off to college, I wanted to make faith my own and be a part of a community who reaches out to care for others, to love unconditionally, and helps each other grow in Christ. I actually lucked out in that I found West End at home, both in Alabama and at Vanderbilt. West End was so easy to get to sophomore year, and I felt so welcome for my first service. Especially as I got really involved with College Lunch and Fellowship, I yearned for such a community on campus. Soon after, I got the privilege to help Nancy revive the Wesley group on Vanderbilt's campus, and it's been such a joy to see it grow, knowing that other students could experience the same love of God, acceptance, and community I feel. Wesley encourages me to be myself, helps me feel grounded and supported, and helps me learn more about Scripture. Next Sunday's communion offering goes to the Wesley Foundations at TSU, Fisk, Belmont, and Vanderbilt. And when you're giving to support a place on campus where students can come and know the unconditional love of God. I'm not sure where I would be without my friends and experience at Wesley. Especially at Vanderbilt, I've needed that time to recharge and refocus. It is my home away from home and a place where I know that I am supported and encouraged and always loved. As a people called to love of all of God's people, may we gather our tithes and offerings as a sign of our commitment to the call of Jesus Christ on each of our lives.
we go forth this week, even if we just do something small, may we seek the face of Christ in all we meet, and may we be blessed by those encounters. Go with the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen.